Lord Jesus, we once again get to turn to you as we turn in your word. Help us to love you fully today. I thank you, Jesus, that you came to earth, lived a life that was worthy of praise the whole time you were alive, and then you sacrificed yourself by allowing the authorities to take you to the cross. We are so grateful, God, that you didn't shirk the purpose and the reason that you came here to earth, but you fulfilled everything that the Father had sent you for. And we're so grateful, Jesus, that we get to be with you in your presence, in your house. Holy Spirit, work in us and through us. Continue to build up this community, this Sky Valley, and continue, Lord Jesus, to do your work in our hearts. Thank you that you never give up on us, even when we give up on ourselves, God. Amen. Today's passage is Luke chapter 5, a day by the lake. How many of you like a day by the lake? It's kind of a good thought. The lake we're talking about here is Lake Gennesaret. It's also called the Sea of Galilee. And it's a pretty big lake. Trying to figure out what we could compare it to. Lake Chelan's probably the largest lake in Washington State, right? Yeah, Sea of Galilee's bigger.
How about Lake Washington?
Washington's second, I think.
Is it really?
I think so, yeah. Sea of Galilee would be about twice the size of Lake Washington.
Wow.
So if you think about that, and I love Lake Washington, there's not very many places where you can actually get down by the lake as a common person and hang out there. But there is one little park there that it's got some trails and things down to it, pretty steep bank and whatnot, but it's just a great place, Lake Washington, to go and hang out and walk around. The Sea of Galilee, Lake Gennesaret, is a little bit more open than Lake Washington. At the time that Jesus was wandering around there, I don't know how many people had lakefront cottages. I'm sure there were some. I mean, I think any time there's water, you find that people want to come and live by that water. If you have a development and there's a couple lakes and a golf course and then a whole bunch of woods, the lakes and golf course lots are going to get filled up quicker than the woodsy lots. That's why I like the woodsy lots. Kind of be off and let your neighbors take care of the property and you don't have to do that and be responsible for the taxes and the dues and all that. But anyway, Jesus spent a lot of time by this lake. There were times where he was near the lake and feeding thousands of people. There were times where he'd go across the lake and he was, you know, back and forth on the lake. Sometimes he walked on the water. Sometimes he would just be with his disciples. Terrible storm. He's sleeping in the boat and they say, "Wake up, we're going to die." And he takes care of that and just speaks to the storm and it's quiet and calm. And, you know, this was a lake that he knew pretty well. It's interesting that when he went and healed some people across the lake and cast out some demons and things, you know, people were there and they knew all about it, and when he fed people, they were there. And then when he'd come across the lake by boat, they'd find a way to get around the lake or across the lake themselves with whatever methods they had, and they would meet him again and keep following him around. He was beginning to draw crowds everywhere he went. And last week we talked about how he had been in the synagogue teaching during the day, and then in the evening he went to Peter's house, and Peter's mother-in-law was sick, and Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. And then people started coming as soon as sundown because it was, you know, Sabbath, so they didn't want to travel with their sick during the Sabbath. That would have been against their rules. But as soon as the sun went down, Sabbath was over, and so they all started showing up at Peter's house and lining up and getting healed. And sounded like Jesus probably spent most of the night, if not all the night, staying up with people coming to him, being healed, having demons cast out. Dr. Luke demonstrates his interest in the healing a lot as we go through this document that he's put together for Theophilus. And, you know, he's researched all this really well. Again, this is part of the Synoptic Gospels, where you got Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the same optical. They're all looking at the same story, and so oftentimes the stories will overlap a little bit. Today's story is both in Matthew and Mark, and if you want to look those up, they're good readings as well, just a short reading. But Jesus is going along. Now, we know that he spent some time with Peter and Andrew, for sure, and he brought James and John with him, so he's been hanging out with them already for some time, and they're fishermen, and that's why they spend a lot of time by the lake. It's kind of important. They weren't just fishermen like sports fishermen. This was their occupation. They had fishing boats, and they would go out and catch a lot of fish and then use that to make money. And hard-working guys, they were kind of a team. They had their own, I don't know if it was an LLC or what, but they worked together. You got these guys that knew each other, the families. It was kind of a family deal. It's just like we noticed with Peter's family last week. You know, it sounded like there were at least a couple, two or three generations hanging out in that household, and not just the immediate bloodline, but in-laws, and everybody's just kind of hanging out together. Nice, cool place to be. Today we look at a day by the lake, and it's starting in Luke chapter 5, verse 1. The way that Dr. Luke puts this, "Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret." Mark and Matthew talk about as he's walking along by the lake, but it sounds like this crowd just, they kept coming towards him. It almost feels like they're about to push him into the water. He's just, you know, there's nowhere for him to go. He's kind of backed up against the water. We know that you know, last week I talked about how he'd gone away to a private place, a quiet place, a solitude, and wanted to just be alone with the Father. And of course, the crowd comes out and finds him, and that they want to control him and bring him, and hey, let's go do this and let's do that. And you know, the crowds oftentimes are trying to tell Jesus what to do, and he's got his own mind, and he's listening to the Father, and he only does what the Father tells him to do, only says what the Father tells him to say. But I love the way that Dr. Luke starts this. It happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God. So he's teaching. He doesn't just teach in the synagogue. He's out teaching now. I would have loved to just take a nature walk with Jesus. How many of you would like to take a nature walk with the creator of all things? It's like this is the creator and sustainer of all things. Nothing would exist without him, without his word. And he's out there and teaching the word of God. Later he says that he is the word. So it's like he's teaching himself. He's showing them truth. Well, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. So you kind of get this picture. The fishermen are out there. They're washing their nets. They're cleaning things up, kind of getting ready for the next day that they had to work. Turns out that you know, from the three different Gospels we have here, these guys had been fishing all night. They'd been working all night trying to catch fish. Didn't catch a thing. You ever been skunk rich? It's like, the good news is Jesus knows where the fish are. When it's time to catch something and he tells you go there, he knows where they are. Now, some people think they know where the good fishing spots are. We went out fishing with Chuck and Sam a couple times on Fish Lake, and they knew right where they were until they weren't, and then we had to go somewhere else. But you find the fish, and that's where you're going to catch them, is where they are. You're not going to catch them where they're not. And for whatever reason, you know, these fishermen, these professional fishermen, had been out fishing all night, hadn't caught a thing. And that's not a good day, you know, when that's your business, you rely on that. How many of us, when we have a plan in our life and we rely on something, and we think this is how God's going to do this, this is how it's going to work out, and we go about our business, we're hard workers, and we're doing the right thing, and it doesn't work out? Has that ever happened to anybody besides me? I don't know. Worked out for Kathy. She thought she picked a good husband, and then she got stuck with me. So anyway, so they're going along, and he sees a couple boats. Okay, that's interesting. You know, he's like, okay, this crowd's pushing up against me. Look, there's some boats. What did he do the previous night after he'd spent a whole time trying to heal people and take care of the crowds? He went and snuck out and tried to find a quiet place of solitude. And I'm thinking, if this was me, I'm in that boat. Let's go. Let's get out in the middle and nobody can come near me. You know, it's kind of that, that seems like that's probably part of what's in his mind. He's human. He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's. Okay, I think he knew that when he got into it. I mean, these guys have been hanging out together for about a year. It's not like he just met them. I'm sure he'd probably been in that boat before. He knew these people. He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little distance from the land. Could you just, let's go out just a little ways. And he sat down and continued teaching the crowds from the boat. I would have been trying to do everything I could to get away from those crowds. And he's thinking, how can I accommodate the crowds better? If I go out just a little ways, my voice will carry across the water. And then they'll all be able to hear me as they're in this kind of amphitheater bowl there. And he goes out and he teaches them. I love the heart of Jesus. My heart would have been, get me out of here. This is like being in Bellevue or Seattle. I want to go to Skykomish. You know, and yet his heart was, these people need the word. They need the truth. They need the gospel. And so he starts teaching them from the boat. Now, when he had finished speaking, so I don't know how long this had been. It could have been a couple hours, could have been just minutes. I don't know. But I'm guessing from the way that all of his other stories go that he probably took his time with these people and gave them something similar to the Sermon on the Mount, you know, which takes up a few chapters in Matthew. He would have been proclaiming truth. He would have been trying to spark their minds and their hearts into drawing after repentance and following the Lord. That he taught that the kingdom of heaven is near. He was a teacher that not only knew Hebrew scripture, but he knew the Father that inspired all of that scripture, Holy Spirit that inspired all of that scripture. Jesus was the ultimate teacher, and he would have been, I'm guessing, like he does when we see him, hear him, you know, when he was even with Satan, he's like, you can quote scripture. Scripture kept coming up. I'm sure that he wasn't just like making stuff up as he went. Of course, if he did, then it would be truth. So that would be okay too. But here he is. He's teaching. He's speaking. And when he's all done, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Simon responded and said, Master, I'm going to add a few things to this. And if I'm out of line, forgive me. But it's like, okay. Peter oftentimes would kind of question the Lord's stability and mentality. When the Lord said he had to go to the cross, Peter starts arguing with him. I mean, Peter didn't have any problems speaking back to Jesus. I think Peter saw Jesus as kind of a peer. You know, they were buddies. They had been hanging out for a year. Yeah, he healed his mother-in-law, you know, just the day before and whatever. You know, he's like, and that was really good because his mother-in-law was a good cook and she got up immediately and fixed him a meal. So, you know, a lot of good things happening with Jesus around. And he's seeing things happening here, but he's thinking, okay, Jesus, you're a rabbi. Yeah, I'll give you that. You're a good teacher. You're a carpenter. You made some nice furniture. You've done some good stuff. You've built with stone and rock and built structures. I know you know your area, but my area is fishing. Okay, Master? I'm the professional fisherman. So you're telling me to go out and put my nets down and try to... Okay, let me explain. We worked hard all night, Master, and caught nothing. But I will do as you say and let down the nets. It's like, yeah, I'll do this for you because we're friends. Okay? How many of us underestimate our friends sometimes? We think, yeah, they're probably not capable, or our spouses or our children, or, you know, it's like, wow, they're going to do what they said. That's pretty good. You know, so, I mean, I'm just picturing this and just kind of knowing the character of Peter as we read through Scripture. He's not one that's short on confrontation. I like Peter. Peter's the kind of guy that it's like, okay, he's going to speak his mind. Yeah, Master, We worked all night. We're the professional fishermen, and we've been at this, and we know what we're doing, and guess what? There were no fish out there. We didn't catch a thing. Mm-hmm. So this isn't good fishing time right now. Sorry, Master, but because you asked us to, I'll go out and do that. Now, there's a lesson there, too. How many of us, just because the Lord's asked us to do something, we're going to go do it, even though we don't think it's going to be successful? Kathy and a friend of ours had a little prayer time. And Joanne and Kathy prayed for Kathy's healing. She'd had a shoulder that was really giving her some pain and just wasn't working right. And Joanne prayed for her. And then, miraculously, the shoulder got healed. And both of them were so shocked that they're like, what happened? Yeah, I prayed because I expected that God could do this, but I never really expected Him to do it. How many of us, when we approach God in prayer, we know that He can, but we really don't believe that He will? Yeah, but You asked me to do this, Lord, so I'm going to do it. We do things out of obedience. And even when we don't necessarily believe that there's going to be an outcome that's worthy of our time, we do things out of obedience for the Lord. And Peter did that. I love Peter's character, because he could have said, look, you haven't got a clue what you're talking about. I'm going to go somewhere else and have some lunch or whatever. It's like, no, he's like, okay, Master. We worked hard, and we were not successful. Our professional efforts were a failure. But because you've asked me to do this, I'll go let the nets down. When they had done this, they caught a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to tear. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. That would have been the sons of Zebedee. You guys know them, right? James and John? Yeah. This is kind of Jesus' closest group. As He's called His disciples, as He gets them to follow Him, it's like they're following Him around right now. These were people that, Andrew had been hanging out with John the Baptist, and he'd been told, hey, look, there's Jesus. That's the one you need to follow. So he'd been following John for a while. They'd been seeking after truth. They'd been, in an attitude of repentance. Their hearts were in the right place. And when John the Baptist said, hey, go follow this man, that's the true Messiah, they did. And they'd been following him around and hanging out with him for about a year. Now, they're still doing their fishing business and all this other stuff, but they've been with Jesus. The first thing that Andrew did when he was told by John to go follow Jesus. He went to follow Jesus, and he asked to find out where Jesus was staying, and he found out where Jesus was staying. Immediately, he went back, got his brother Peter, his brother Simon. He said, hey, we've met the Messiah. You got to come see this guy. And then, James and John, they're in on this. So they're all kind of hanging out and following each other around. They're close friends with each other, and Jesus is part of this circle. And they're together, and so they're out there. I don't know why James and John went out in their boat too then. I would have assumed that would have been up on the shore still. But somehow they're out there. They called to them. I don't know. Did they have walkie-talkies back then? Somehow they got a hold of them, and they called them over. The partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats, to the point that they were sinking. This was a big catch. This is the kind of catch that could pay the bills for quite a while. They'd been skunked all night. Jesus said, hey, put your net down here. How many other things had they seen Jesus do already? I know that he'd been healing people all night at the mother-in-law's, or after healing the mother-in-law at Peter's house. They had seen a lot of miraculous things from Jesus, and now they see this. And Peter's reaction. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. Somehow this act of, wow, I thought I knew everything about fishing, but this guy knows everything. And he's holy and righteous and just, and I'm not. My attitude was, Lord, I'll do it because you asked me to, but not because you're God. And when he sees this, he's just torn. How many of us, when we've actually known God for who he is, that reflects on who we actually are? And it cuts us to the quick, and we know that, wow, you know me and you still want to hang out with me? You know me and you still love me? Thank you, Lord. I'm not worthy. And here's Peter. He's like, Lord, this is too much. I've disrespected you. I've not recognized you for who you are, even though I saw all the things you were doing, even though in my mind, in my words, I said the right things and I recognized you as the Lord and as the Messiah. I didn't really know it until this. Amazement had seized him and all his companions. It's not just Peter. They're all like, wow. Because these professional fishermen had been out there all night working hard, going where they knew the fish were, and then they weren't there. And after a hard day of work, they come back and they're cleaning their nets and they're done for the day. They're not going to go back. You don't go fishing during the day when you're professional fishermen. You get them earlier. You know, the early bird catches the worm. Well, the early fisherman catches the fish and all that stuff. I mean, you know, how often do you want to go out in the heat of the day to catch fish? And against everything that they knew, Jesus says, yeah, put the net down. And they get so many that it's filled both boats to the point of almost sinking. Yeah, he and his companions, they were filled with amazement because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And likewise also James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. There's something big going on here. Now, he'd been speaking to the crowd, but this wasn't done for the crowd. This was just, hey guys, I want you to know me. I want you to follow me. You know, Jesus loves the masses, but he also loves us as individuals. He knows your heart. He knows where you're hurting the most and where you're proud the most. And he can touch both places. Jesus said to Simon, starting to sound like an angel all of a sudden, isn't he? It's a heavenly being here. What? Simon's on his knees trembling. And Jesus says to Simon, do not fear. From now on, you will be catching people. When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This was life-changing for Peter. Father, as we look at this short passage and we recognize that you can demonstrate your glory and your power in so many different ways. Like the prophet Habakkuk, I ask, Lord, we've heard about your glory. We'd like to see it. We want to see it now. Help us to have our eyes, our spiritual hearts opened to recognize the goodness that you're doing. We thank you, God, that we have seen a demonstration of your love on this town of Skykomish, on this upper Sky Valley. We've seen people that have been changed. We've seen houses that have been restored, hearts that have been restored. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that we can see more and more of that. Draw people to you. Help us not to be in your way, Lord Jesus. Give us the ability to love the community fully, to demonstrate who you are through our actions, our words, even in the quiet places in our homes. Help us, God, to recognize you, to lean on you, to trust you, to know you fully. When Peter recognized you, Lord, we see that he left everything. walked away from the successful business and followed you. This was life-changing for him. I pray, Lord Jesus, that as we get to know you, it will be life-changing for each of us. And as a body, as a community church here, Lord, I pray that we can recognize you so fully in one another, that we can spur one another on to love and good deeds, that we can watch you infect in a good way each of us. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that your fire will spread. We want to see your full glory here. In your holy name we pray. Amen.